taken captives. Verse 4. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, Abigail, the wife of Nabal, Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. David was married to her, but she was still referred to as somebody else's wife. In David's house, scripture can be. His two wives were taken. His two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, he married her legally. Abigail, the wife. Anything you do wrong follows you for life. The wife of Nabal the Carmelite. Read verse 6. Verse 7. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Let's read verse 8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them without fear, recover all. Amen. We know the story, but tonight I want to share on shall I pursue. Ask five people, shall I pursue? Have they answered you? Ask them again, shall I pursue? Now look this way. The place that we read, the Bible speaks about the Amalekites. They entered into the city of David. David had two major cities he controlled. One of them was his stronghold, and it was called Zion. It was the city he founded. It grew and spread into a city called Zion. But Ziklag was a city where he was domiciled. Just the way Jesus was connected to two cities. One of them was Bethlehem, one was Nazareth. So David was connected to Ziklag and to Zion. But the Bible says, a particular class of enemies. Enemies are diversities. But there's a particular class of enemies that when they want to deal with you, you will feel it. Now, let me tell you about the Amalekites. The Amalekites always go and touch Israel at the very spot where Israel feels like dying. The first time the Amalekites touched Israel, there was a series of operations. Then when Israel was moving out of the wilderness, the promised land, they put all the children behind them. What they did, they put the strong men in front, the strong soldiers. Behind the strong soldiers, they put the stronger one. And behind the stronger one, they put the strongest men. So when the enemies come, they've got to take the ones in front down before they come for the second group, before they meet the strongest of men. And behind the strongest of soldiers are the civilian, male civilian. Behind there are women, and behind the last are children, because they needed to protect the children. When the Amalekites came, they came from behind. So who did they go for? This time they entered into the city of David. They went for the women. The Amalekites are people that always go after the believers in their low moments, in their moments where they are defenseless, when they look unprotected. Shall I pursue? Shall I pursue? The Amalekites are people, their duty is to empty and bring to ridicule a great believer who has gotten destiny. Shall I pursue? There are people in life who are going to certain strategic confrontations in their life. When they entered into the house and the town of David, they stole everything. Whatever is stolen is not gone. It can be gotten back. Whatever is stolen is either hijacked, is either taken, is either diverted. God hates thieves.
God hates thieves. Even in the New Testament, old and new, he emphasized in Leviticus 19:11. He said, thou shalt not steal. Zechariah chapter 5 verse 3. He said, he that stealeth shall be cut off. Am I speaking to somebody here? He said the same thing in the book of Matthew, I think 19:18. He repeated the same thing in Proverbs chapter 6 from verse 30 to 31. He said, man, do not despise a thief if he steal when he is hungry. And verse 31 said, but if he is found, he shall pay back. In Exodus 22, I like verse 2. The Bible says, if a thief is found breaking in, so that, and he is smitten, so that he dies, there shall no blood be shed for him. Bring the Message translation, the Message translation of that scripture, and then you will see the way it analyzes it. He says, if a thief is caught while breaking in and is hit hard and dies, there is no blood guilt. You stole from me in the spirit. In the process of me taking it back, I kill you. I am innocent. Am I talking to somebody here? You took my marriage from me. Shall I pursue? You took my marriage from me. You took my health from me. I didn't plan to kill you. I just wanted to take back my health. If in the process you die, I am not guilty. Shall I pursue? I came to prophesy. As you hear the sound of my voice, everyone under the influence of my voice, everything taken from you, it shall be restored today. I say it shall be restored today.
Amen.
I say it shall be restored today.
Amen.
The Lord will restore your health.
Amen.
The Lord will restore your finances.
Amen.
The Lord will restore your children.
Amen.
The Lord will restore your baby. Somebody shout, shall I pursue?
Shall I pursue?
Shout, shall I pursue?
Shall I pursue?
Take your seat. The place you've just gone through, the Bible says, hold on. And David said, he didn't say, he didn't just say, shall I pursue? He said, shall I pursue after this troop? The problem we have is that we cannot identify the troop that stole from us. You fight like one beating the air because you do not know what was stolen from you. You are not a believer of one thing. You are after too many things. You are not after one thing. Luke chapter 10 verse 42. One thing is needful. One thing. One thing is needful. Not several. One thing. Mark chapter 10 verse 21. One thing thou lackest. One thing. One thing thou lackest. Luke chapter 18:22. One thing. One thing. One thing. Psalm chapter 27 verse 4. This one thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing. And that will I seek after. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. This one thing I do. One thing. One thing. One thing. One thing. We need to identify and begin to pursue just one thing. We need to identify what was stolen from us. What was stolen from us. And who stole what they stole. I'm not going to get into all that because I have so much to share with us. And the place we have read, the Bible says, and when they entered, they took something from David. They took his wives. They took his sons. They took their daughters. The highest form of attack is not financial attack. It's not ministerial attack. It's not attack on the health. It's not academic attack. The highest form of attack is attack on family. The highest form, if the devil wants to waste a man, no matter the ministry he has, no matter the job he does, no matter the talent he has, he goes for his family. He goes after his family. In Numbers chapter 1, if you read verse 18, he says, according to their family. In verse 20, he says, according to their family. In verse 22, after their family. In verse 24, after their family. In verse 26, according to their family. In verse 28, he talked about their family. In verse 30, their family. In verse 32, their family. In verse 34, their family. In verse 36, their family. In verse 38, their family. In verse 40, their family. In verse 42, their family. In Psalm 68, I think in verse 18, he said he set that solitary in families. In Joshua chapter 31, Jeremiah 31 and verse 1, he said God is a God of families. Am I speaking to somebody here? I'm the God of all the families of Israel. One of the reasons why God loved Abraham so much in Genesis 18:19, I know my servant Abraham, for he will command his household after me. He will command his house after me. One of the reasons why God loved Joshua in Joshua 24 verse 15, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, God loves people who are concerned about their family. You came to this family at such a time because something is missing. You came, check any man that became great. There were men who were on a search. There were men who were on a search, In Joshua, in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 9, verse 3, the father of Saul said, go and seek for the asses. Go and seek the asses. Am I talking to somebody here? Am I speaking to somebody here? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 37, I believe verse 15, he said, a man found Joseph as he was wandering. He was on a search. There is something missing that needs to be found. This is not the way the family is. This is not where the family is supposed to be. I am not excited when I rise and I see my siblings on the floor, because I know it is very possible for me to become a major target. I am not excited when I rise and I see my cousins, my nephews on the floor, because I know it is possible for me to become a victim. I can't be smiling when my brother is sick. I can't be smiling when my sister doesn't have a baby. I cannot be smiling when my brother-in-law is poor. I cannot be smiling when I see people around me who are under the clout of demonic oppression. The greatest form of attack is the attack on family. They took his wife. When David came, he began to cry. He didn't cry because his horses were taken. Horses can be replaced. He didn't cry because his chariot was collected. Chariot can be replaced. But you cannot replace a good wife. You can't replace a good husband. You can't replace a good daughter. You can't replace a good son. The attack on family. When I see people, you've got family members who are in certain captivity, and you are smiling that you are prospering. You are not prospering if there is a curse in your family. You are not doing well if there's a mockery in your family. I came today by the force of grace, by the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, God is a God of continuity. He doesn't want it to stop with you. That is why he calls him the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's a God of continuity. The biggest form of attack is the attack on family. But I stand with this mouth I used to pray. Shall I pursue? Shall I pursue? Shall I pursue? I came to pursue. I came to pursue your pursuer. I came to attack your attacker. I came to terrorize your terror. I came to confront your confrontation. By the power of the Holy Ghost, as you hear the sound of my voice, the place they left you, they will not meet you there. The place they dropped you, they will not meet you there. Ask your neighbor, shall I pursue? Shall I pursue?
Shall I pursue? Take your seat.
David was a warrior par excellence. David was a man that fought 66 battles and won all.
David looked at Goliath. Goliath ran to him. He ran to Goliath. David was a man that was not living with men. He was living with animals. For a man to say, lion went after my kid, I tore lion. David was tearing lion the way they tear clothes. A bear! These are the two most dangerous animals. They are devourers. I killed the bear. I killed the lion. General. David was the first man who moved from civilian to five-star general. He was not a sergeant. He was not a colonel. From civilian, straight to CNC. Why? Because he brought down Goliath. She was a young man whose heart was practically at his back. David was a warrior. The Bible says David held the sword. He killed and killed and killed till the sword entered his hand. David was used to the sword. Even when he opens his palm, the sword is still standing. That is kind of general he was. But he cried. They touched him. Yeah, he cried. They touched him somewhere. He can fight. But David was saying, they got me. They got me. They got me. A general was crying. A general was crying before his lieutenants. They got me. They got me. They got me. He said he cried and cried until he had no more power to weep. Ladies and gentlemen, that is even understandable. But the people conspired to stone him. How can I just lose wife and children, and now you are planning to stone me? Have you ever been in pain and yet you have been accused for being guilty of your pain? Have you ever, if I want to kidnap people, will I kidnap my own wife? There are some things you cannot understand. Whenever you get to a point you can't understand, fight. Don't explain. Fight back. Shall I pursue? Shall I pursue? I don't know what they tempered with in your family. They tempered your home. They tempered your job. They tempered your children. They tempered your finance. But I prophesy, as you hear the sound of my voice, what they took from you, you are taking it back. I say 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 you are taking it back. Shall I pursue? And a general broke down. Have you been at that point in your life where you know they got you? You know they got you. You know that this thing has gotten me. I've been arrogant and appearing untouchable, but they touched me. They touched me somewhere. This thing touched me. I never thought they would have that audacity. Your boldness. Please carry your pain to raw materials for the fight. Convert your pains to raw materials for the fight. How come? John chapter 9, if you see verse 2, a man was born blind, and they asked, who sinned? This man? How can I be in pain? And you are not trying to trace what is wrong with me. You are trying to connect me to guilt. Sometimes, let me say this to you, what weighs people down is not the pain of their troubles, but the thoughts of people, the accusations of people that they never thought could stay so far from them in their pain. Hey, A man was arraigned. A Financial Crimes Control Commission arraigned a man. The man said, I'm innocent. And they said, we are going to bring witnesses who will testify that you are guilty. The number one witness they brought against him was his driver. The man was shocked to see his driver standing on the dock. He said, I'm the one that carries money for Oga. Hold on, don't shout yet. The person after the driver was the wife. She had just, they were not divorced. She only left the house angry. She came out to testify. Now, they didn't need any further witness. That's not, because only the wife alone, she is several witnesses. I just imagine what went through that man's mind. They got me. They got me. They got, that is the situation. There he was in. When you think you are strong, and the challenge of life make you cry. They say men don't cry. I told you on Sunday, say their eyes only turn red. You have not seen trouble. When you see trouble, you cry. And the people thought, say, we have lost famine, let's kill him. And David looked at Abiathar. He said, bring me an effort. This matter, I don't need a pastor to talk to me. I need God for myself. Bring me an effort. The duty of Abiathar was to use the effort himself. But David said, I don't need anybody to help me find out. Shall I pursue? Number one, if you want to pursue, you need direction. You need direction. Shall I pursue? You need direction. You need to understand the mystery and the efficacy of divine direction. The greatest weapon, of great men is direction. If you study Israel, Israel never fought a battle with the same pattern. There were times they marched around Jericho. There were times they had the hand of Moses and Aaron. Aaron and all had the hand of Moses. The other time they blew the trumpet. For every battle, there was instruction. Divine direction is the joker of champions. Divine direction is what makes people achieve great things cheaply. Somebody say, I need direction. I can't hear you say, I need direction. The Bible says in Psalm 119, I think verse 5, he said, oh, that would direct my ways. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, he said, trust in the Lord thy God with all thy heart. He says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, it is not in a man to direct his ways. It is not in a man to plan his steps. Am I speaking to somebody right now? If you want things to be achieved, you need direction. The reason you are stranded, as it were, and you are at this point of your life, when you don't know where the next meal will come from, it appears you are almost done and out. It is because you lack illumination. You lack direction. Wherever you are, receive direction. I say 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 receive direction. One of the reasons David was more solid than every other king in Israel. David was a priest. He was a prophet. He was a flutist. He was a psalmist. He was a guitarist. He was a musician. But yet, David had several men that still inquired for him. Every king had a prophet. David had a prophet, had a priest, had a diviner. In 1 Kings, hold on. Wait. Adonijah, before I give 1 Kings where I'm going. Adonijah was one of the children of David. And Adonijah came up and rose up that he wants to become the king. And paraded himself as king. And he succeeded in carrying one prophet to follow him. So while he was doing that, Nathan went to Bathsheba. He said, Bathsheba, let's do something. I know your husband. He said, you will go to your husband and tell him that have you not promised, or did you not promise that Solomon shall be king? That is in verse 12. 1 Kings chapter 1 verse 12. Did you not promise that Solomon shall be king? How come? He said, while you are still talking to him, I will walk in. I will walk in. I will walk in. And we shall. He said, give me counsel that thou mayest say the life and the life of thy son. If you go further, in verse 26, when Nathan was in, not as a king, I don't understand. Adonijah had called many prophets, but me, verse 26, but me, the servant, Zadok the priest, Benaniah the son of Jedidiah, thy servant Solomon, had he not called? We are the ones that determine who sits on the throne. We are the people. We are the board of directors. We change king, we put king. How can he be a king when we have not approved it? We are looking at him, we are smiling. He didn't call me. He didn't call Jedidiah, son of Benaniah, son of Jedidiah. He didn't call Zadok. He only took one out of four, and it will be all this throne. And David said, what do you want to do? He said, we want to make Solomon king. He said, carry. There are people that hold the key. God has given them that apostolic covering. They determine what happened to certain destinies. Am I talking to somebody here? See how many people he had. He had Nathan. He had Benaniah. He had Zadok. And he said, yes, God. You don't hear God, and you don't have anybody that hear for you. See the efficacy of direction. See the importance of illumination, light. Nothing commands flight like light. It is an error to take light lightly. It's an error to take light lightly. Exodus 11 verse 7. He said, truly light is sweet. For it's a good thing for the eyes to behold the sun. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 13. He said, light excelleth darkness. Light excelleth darkness. Light excelleth as wisdom excelleth fully. 1 John 1 verse 5 makes it clear to us that he, God, is the light. And in him there's no darkness at all. John 1 5 says, and the light shineth in, and the darkness. Bring up the message translation. The light blazed out darkness, and darkness could not put it out. Amplified. He said, for the light shines in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out, or absorbed it, or appropriated it. It's unreceptive to it. In other words, whenever light shows up, darkness says, you are not welcome. It's unreceptive. Darkness gives way. When light shows up, darkness gives way. Light! You are where you are! You are stuck and almost stopped because you lack light. You are stuck and almost stopped because somebody said, direct me, Lord. Say, I need direction. I can't hear you now. I can't hear you now. I can't hear your voice. Say it one more time. Light is your lifeline. Light is your escape route in the midst of adversity. Light. Everyone that is in front of you is in front of you because he had light. Nothing begins for a man until light starts it up. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, God did not begin creation until light was initiated. He said, before I begin, let there be light. I need illumination. I need direction. Nothing exposes a man to cheap lifting, cheap rising like direction. Cheap lifting, cheap rising. You will no more be confused in your life. I say you no more be confused in your life. I say you no more be confused in your family. You no more be confused in your life. I say you no more be confused in your life.
Somebody say, Lord, direct my path. Say, Lord, direct my path. I think you should direct my path.
Direct my path.
Say, Lord, direct my path. Say, Lord, direct my path. I can't hear you at all. I can't hear you at all. I can't hear you at all.
Lord, direct my path.
They cried.
And let me say this to you. Weeping solves nothing. Weeping solves nothing. Regret solves nothing. Sitting down, broken in pain, solves nothing. The same energy it takes to cry is what it takes to fight. The size of your problem is determined by how you see it. Some people magnify their problem. Some people enlarge their problem. But some other people have a microscopic view of their problem. They see it as very micro, not macro, very micro, very minute, very infinitesimal. They see it so minor and so irrelevant. Gather your energy. When the devil hits you with failure, gather your energy. A knockdown is not a knockout. If you are knocked down, you are not knocked out. The righteous man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Rejoice not over me, O mine enemy. For if I fall, I will rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be my light. Am I communicating? Failure is not final. Even when you get to the end, there is a bend. You've got to have this understanding in life that the end of the day is not the end of the story. That a vehicle stop doesn't mean the journey has ended. The vehicle can stop to refuel. The vehicle can stop to change the tire. The vehicle can stop on the way to buy gala. The journey has not ended. Tell somebody, journey continue. Say, journey continue. It doesn't matter how many times they knock you down. Rise up again. It doesn't matter how many times they hit you with pain. Rise up again. The righteous falleth and riseth. What shall you imagine against the Lord? For he shall make an utter end. For affliction shall not rise up a second time. I've come to prophesy upon someone who hears the sound of my voice. You are bouncing back. Stronger. You are bouncing back stronger. You are bouncing back stronger. You are bouncing back stronger. You don't serve a dead God. You serve a mighty God. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. When God said yes, no man can say no. When God lifts you up. God is on my side. Power is on my side. Money is on my side. The word shot fire. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. How come? Take your seat. Someone asked a question. Someone asked a question and said, he said, what, in one word, what is the secret? He said, I discover your ministry, you pray. You guys pray a lot. You guys give. So it's diverse. What is the major secret of the growth you're seeing? I said, direction. We don't do a thing, nothing. It is commanded. From the first time we ever started, for the first branch we ever was trained, we had options to go everywhere around Edo State. I had clearly Okpila. Of all places, that wasn't where what I wanted to hear. But I said, go to Okpila. I said, do what? He said, start, go and do a crusade there. Start the branch. I said, of all places, he said, go there. Every time we have been somewhere, it was an instruction. When God gives a word, he backs it up. God is only commanded, only committed to what he has commanded. His commandment carries his commitment. His commandment provokes his commitment. When you hear heaven's command, you must be in earthly demand. Men who hear heaven's command are always in earthly demand. Somebody say, direct me, Lord. See, I need direction. I can't hear you loud and clear. I can't hear you loud and clear. I need direction. I need direction. Shall I pursue? Well, when you hear that word, shall I pursue? It's a question that demands, it's an inquiry. When you say, shall I pursue? It also connotes something. A decision to be ready to fight. Number one, direction. Number two, decision. Decision. One is God, the second is you. He said, if you be willing, and Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, as crimson, they shall be as. Now, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good. There is good in the land. There is good, but you cannot eat the good until you decide. No matter the abundance of revelation, without decision, revelation is a waste. Let a man of God give you revelation. Let God give you revelation. Every revelation without decision is a mere imagination. Every revelation without decision is mere imagination. It doesn't matter the height you get in life. It doesn't matter what you know. Until you make a decision, nothing brings distinction like decision. Indecision itself is a decision. Not to decide is a decision. You have only decided not to decide. By refusing to do something, you are doing something. When you sit down, they say, what are you doing? You say, I'm doing nothing. No, you are sitting down. Refusing to do something is already something. Indecision is a decision. So you had better make up your mind for a deliberate, shall I pursue personal decision. Stop waiting for people to do things for you. Stop faulting people for not helping you. You are not a failure until you still have who to blame. The man that fell down is not a failure. The man that blames people for his falling is a failure. Am I talking to somebody here? The man that fell is not a failure. The man that is blaming people. My father didn't train me. My mother didn't train me. This one didn't help me. This one didn't help me. No, sir. Am I speaking to somebody? If you said they didn't help you, who helped them? They are standing. Who helped them? Listen to me, church. Nobody is responsible for my problem. I am responsible. Anywhere I find myself, I am responsible. So nobody is responsible for my growth. I am responsible. Because if you wanted to push me and I refuse to be pushed, I will remain where I am. Nobody is doing you. You are the one doing yourself. Am I speaking to somebody here? Nobody, stop blaming people. I have one uncle in America that didn't help me. I have a cousin in London that didn't help me. Who helps your cousin? Your cousin is standing. Who helped your cousin? Sometimes the reason God don't want people to help you is because he doesn't want them to share your glory. He doesn't want them to point fingers tomorrow to say, if not them, you will not be standing. There were people I thought would help me. In fact, when we are seeing the council hall, a man in a certain church in this town, he said, Apostle, I am not coming to Omega because you are not yet doing Sunday morning service. He said, eight of us, we have already planned.
that we are going to come, we'll buy you keyboard, we'll buy you jazz band. I said, God has not spoken. He said, anytime God speaks, let me know. In this town, the man is in this town. I don't want to mention his name because till tomorrow I'm still angry with him. I've forgiven him. But forgiveness is not memory loss. I'm still angry with that man because he pushed me and he left me. Am I talking to somebody here? Because of that man, I was not praying and disturbing God. Until certain man from Warri gave a prophetic word to me that God says it's time to begin. I said no, and God confirmed him. I went to the man's house. I said, we have begun. The man said, that's wonderful. Continue, we are coming. 16 years later, they are still coming. I saw him about 2-3 years ago, and he said, God has really blessed you. I packed the car, I went down to greet him, and I said to him, if not God, what I plan to do with this car was to push you into the gutter, because you are a bad man. Am I talking to somebody here? I hate people who make promises and don't keep it. I don't like people that disappoint. If you would help me, tell me. Don't lead me on and you turn your back. I don't like people that break promises. If you make a promise, keep it. If you cannot keep it, don't make it. Are you following what I'm talking about? Everyone that is close to me can tell, if I say something, I'll do it. It's a nature I have. If I say something, I keep it. Even if it hurts me, I do it. Everyone around me knows that. If I say something, just watch me. I will do it. I stand up. That is dignity. That is manhood. Anything I say. Sometimes I say it and people have forgot. They come. I told you this. I've done it. But I thought you forgot. I never forgot. How will I forget? He made promises. That was my anger at him. Why would you make up? He gave me a list. I didn't even know what was combo. Now you put them. Combo. We'll buy you combo. We'll buy you drumstick. We'll buy you jack. See list. And he said combo. We'll buy you for bass, right? We'll buy you combo. We'll buy you lead guitar. We'll buy you. See list. The thing was not moving me. I said, hey, you was. Timo. I'm almost calling his name. Now something they hold me so. Let me tell you something about promises. As somebody promised you, before the money came, you have spent it. Have you seen that? You carry pen and paper. You start spending money that has not come. You start pricing things. One stick. One drumstick, one matchstick didn't come from them. Why make promises you cannot keep? Don't be a politician. Politicians tell you they will tie a road on the sky. So tar road on the sky. Say this, when I win, we'll tar road on the sky. Someone just became the chief executive of a state some couple of months ago. And I was watching one of the debates. And in one of the debates, he said, one of my major passion are the Okada men. One man somewhere. One of my passion, the Okada men. We harmonize them. If I will give all of them serial number, so that if an Okada man does something, we can track him. We can deactivate his bike. He just ban all of them. He just ban all of them, and they came to him. And he told them, he said, the ban is irreversible. And he just bought ferry to be used on land. Ferry. But I told you before time, I said, this person, these people, they will do like this. I said, because I know this person. This is from fry pan. From fry pan to brimstone.
Don't make promises. Lift your hands. Say, Lord, I need direction. In 1 Samuel 28, look at the three ways God speaks. 1 Samuel 28, verse 6. He said, and God no longer heard Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 6. The Lord answered not Saul, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by the prophet. God speaks through three ways. He speaks by dreams. He speaks by Urim. What is the Urim and the Thummim? It's the word of God. It comes to change your mind. It comes to change your mentality. And God also reveals by the prophet. The Urim, the Thummim, and the prophet. The Urim, the direction comes to the Urim. Direction comes to the Thummim. And direction comes to the prophet. And when direction comes, decision. Decision. No matter the revelation a man contact is, his indecision can make his revelation immaterial. Thomas said, decision. I can't hear you. Say decision. Say decision. Say decision. I like what the prodigal son said. The Bible said, when he came to himself. Luke 15:19. When he came to himself, meaning all this why he asked for wealth that was he wasn't qualified for, that wasn't him. All the errors you are making is not you, it's not yourself. When he came to himself, when he came, that's why the word of God comes to change our mind. You see, when John the Baptist came, when Jesus came, he said, repent, repent, repent for the kingdom of what? Repent, repent. People think repent means to cease from sin. There are people who are not in church but they don't live in sin. Are you aware? But they have not repented. They don't come to church but they don't drink, they don't smoke, they don't do any of those vices, but they have not repented. Because the word repent does not mean to cease from sin. The word repent is not even the Greek word metanoia. Metanoia means change your thinking. When we say repent, repent, metanoia, metanoia, change the way you think, change the way you think, change the way you think, change the way you think. Be transformed. It begins in the mind. When you feel you are bigger than it, you can't be a victim of it. It begins in the mind. Poverty is not the absence of money. Poverty is the absence of buoyancy of mentality. Stinking thinking is poverty. Poverty of the mind is worse than poverty of the bank account. Am I speaking to somebody here? Let a man have money in his account. If he thinks poor, he will lose or waste what he has there. Buoyancy, buoyancy, buoyancy of the mind. Even if money is not around or you've not gotten wealth, think well. Think big. Think big. Think prosperity. Think abundance. For as a man thinketh in his heart, as a man thinketh in his heart, as a man thinketh in his heart, decision. You must make a decision to stand out. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20. I stand at the door and knock. If any man heareth my voice, he said, and open the door. Open the door. You want to become a minister of God and take your generation by storm, God will not fast for you. It is your decision. You want to be wealthy and make impact, God will not sow seed for you. The only seed he sowed, which was Jesus, his only begotten son, he is almost regretting it because till today people don't believe in him. So God will not sow seed for you. It is your decision. You want to have revelation of God's word, God will not study for you. 2 Timothy 2:15, you study to show thyself. Am I speaking here? It is your decision. You want to stay healthy, God will not control what you eat. You have to decide. anointed wife, you joke with your health. No matter the confession of faith, you joke with your health, you die caricature. It's a decision. Am I communicating? I used to eat any time of the day, anytime, 11 p.m. I don't like eating that early. I just wake up 11 p.m., 11:30. I just eat. But later I began to understand. I didn't get a sign in my body. Experience is not a good teacher. Don't wait to be a victim. As I began to read, I began to see the dangers of eating late. You want to be healthy? Take lunch like the German. Take dinner like the Chinese. The German eat heavy in the afternoon. The Chinese take tea to bed. Not you load your stomach and expect to wake up to pray. Responsibility. Within church is that responsibility. Is the price of greatness. You respond to ability. Tell somebody, take a decision. I can't hear you. Your life is not in the hand of a witch. No witch is after you. You are the one after yourself. In Judges chapter 12 verse 3, he said, when I saw that no one was ready to help me, I took my life in my hand. Listen to me, when your faith says yes, God cannot say no. The woman looked at Jesus and said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus said, I've not seen any faith like this. Not in Israel. It's time to make up your mind. Until you make up your mind, the devil will mess up your life. Make up your mind to fight what fought others. Make up your mind to stop what stopped others. Make up your mind to begin something. Some years ago, I was in Lagos and I said to myself, I will not just be rich, I will be the richest. And the Lord said to me, take out principles. And he gave me 7 principles on achieving prosperity. When I was saying this, I was totally stranded. I was down and out. But I made up my mind. I began to pursue. I made up my mind and I made the decision to give like a madman. To sow seed like it's going out of fashion. Am I communicating right now? I made up my mind and I said, I will take this decision to stand out. Listen to me. Your life is not in the hand of nobody. Your life is in. Stop blaming people. Stop blaming people. Nobody is responsible for your misfortune. You are responsible for your pain. Either by commission or omission, there's something you miss somewhere. See life like that. It helps you to take responsibility. See life like that. Can I say this to you? I know quite a number of people in this nation that are blessed. I have never called them. Not once. One of the top people in this country, before I came here, I came to the office 3:30. I was sitting down there praying. And one of them called me on phone. He said, happy birthday. I said, I don't understand. He said, no, your birthday. I said, no, it's anniversary. He said, oh, sorry. Okay, happy birthday in advance. I said, who told you? He said, somebody said you are celebrating something. You know you. You don't call people. I said, you heard it. You can come if you want to come. He said, I'm abroad. I'm having medicals. As soon as I'm done with medicals, I'll come. I said, this one is not birthday. It's anniversary of the church. He said, so can I come for the birthday? I said, yeah, you are free. No letter is written. My destiny is not in anybody's hand. I don't need your clout to build a name. Are you for what I'm talking about? Stop trying to connect to people because you want to use them. Kill that thing from your mind. Your success is within you. I wish I was talking to someone here. Your success. Listen, the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all. He wasn't talking of liver and kidney. He wasn't talking of intestine. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Do you see soul? Do you see soul?
But can you see kidney? Can you see liver?
Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all the things inside me that I can't see. The company that is within me. The bank account that is within me. The great future that is within me. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and the billions that is within me. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and that great organization that is within me. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and the ministry that is within me. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all.
Bless his holy name. I see your life gravitating from smallness to greatness. I see your life gravitating from a small level to a higher level. You are moving from power to power. I see your life evolving. 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 I see your life evolving.
Tell somebody your left and right.
Make a decision today. Hey. Say, make a decision today. Hey. Say that to someone. Make a decision today.
I tell my children all the time. I tell them. I say, Dad, this money is not your money. I say, Dad, this money is not your money. Don't ever look onto what I have. It's not your own. Your money is what you work for. It's now so bad. So I'm almost regretting the extent I've gone. I was telling one of them, I said, when you go to school, I'll be sending you money. See what happened? I heard that they say in school, they work and school. Why will you send me money? I'll be working, I'll be schooling. I said, God, what have I done? What have I done? I said, I'll send you money every time. She said, don't bother to send me money. Just pay my fees. I'll be working and I'll be schooling. So I'll take care of myself. Teach people responsibility. The problem we have is that we have too many elderly men with feeding bottle. Babysitting a grandpa. See, some of you are frowning at certain people. I will just block his number. He has not helped me. Since he became governor, I have not eaten his one naira. He didn't become governor for you. My brother is in the Senate. Not even rent. He can't pay. What was your contribution to his rising? No, your father that he stayed with. What did your father contribute to his rising? Stop blaming people that you have not affected. Nobody owes you when you have not invested. The only people that owes you are the people you have invested in. And even even payment, repayment of investment is just courtesy. It's not compulsory. It's courtesy. If somebody chooses to remember you after you helped him, it's courtesy. It's not compulsory. He can choose to forget you. So when he remembers you, it's courtesy. Decision. You are not a failure. Don't ever forget this word until you still have who you are blaming. Failures blame people. Successful men take a step. Number three. What is number one? To pursue you need. Number three, you must understand destination. Direction. Decision. What you are pursuing is somewhere. Everybody in life is going somewhere. There are two destinations in life. The first destination, which is ultimate, is eternity. I hear people all the time say, Jesus is not coming back. Since I was young, I've been hearing them say, Jesus is coming. It's a lie. It's gimmicks. It's not coming. They said that in the days of our fathers. They said that in the days of our mothers. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 explains who you are. He said, God is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. He said, but he's long suffering, not willing that any should perish. The reason it appears it's taking time is because God is giving you a long rope. Your grandmother is not alive.
For her, Jesus has come. If Jesus doesn't come, you may go. If you say Jesus is not coming, you may go. If you miss heaven, you can't miss hell. You can't miss the two. If you don't make heaven, you make hell. If you don't make hell, you make heaven. There is eternity. Heaven is real. Heaven is real. There is eternity. This life is not our home. 1 Corinthians 15:19. If only in this world you have hope, you have all men most miserable. What is giving you bravado and pride is your beauty. Beauty is deceitful, favor is vain. But the one that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Everything you see that you are priding with, you are not taking them out of this world. You will leave your car. In fact, you are still alive. Your younger brother is already eyeing your car. He's eyeing your car. You go out, you come out, he's angry. Why did he come back? He's eyeing your houses. You are in that building. He's already programming that his wife will be upstairs, his children will be downstairs. He's programming how to live in your house. There is nothing in this world. I have seen people finish buildings and they are wasted, 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 wasted. One time on Lagos Ibadan Expressway, there was an accident. And I came by, saw a thief died in his car. Long car. It was like an E-class, long. He died inside. The airbag came out. But the man was wasted. And he began to show me the vanity of this world. Solomon was a man that was so wealthy. In Proverbs, I think chapter 4, is it verse 32? The Bible says he wrote 1,500 proverbs and songs. Yet, Solomon said vanity upon vanity. Solomon was such a singer, an outstanding singer. He was a writer and composer of songs. He so sang that his songs became a book in the Bible. It is called the Songs of Solomon. All that chapter you see, my beloved is with me. There were music that were written down. Solomon was so wealthy. Solomon had 42 businesses. Solomon slept 3 hours a day. Yet he died at 89, full of age. Solomon had 12,000 drivers. Solomon had 1,200 sheep on the high sea. That is like saying having 1,200 aircraft. Only Emirates has close to that. And what Emirates has is less than 700. Emirates controls Dubai. Emirates controls Abu Dhabi because of the aircraft. Yet an individual has 1,200. He had 12,000 drivers. For every breakfast of Solomon, 1,000 cow, 1,000 sheep, 1,000 ewe lamb. That's what they kill for breakfast. That's what they kill for lunch. That's 1,000, not 100. 1,000 cows, 1,000 sheep, 1,000 ewe lamb. That's what they kill. Yet the man said vanity upon vanity. Solomon wanted to explore all kinds of women. He saw short one, he liked her. He saw tall, he married her. He saw fat, he married. He saw slim, he married. He saw dwarf. Let me know how dwarf look like. He married. He saw K-leg, he married. He saw bow leg, he married. He saw the one limping, he married. He saw the one bend, he married. He was just married. He said, let me understand. At the end, vanity upon vanity. All. You will leave this world one day. You will leave this world one day. And there are two destinations. The first is eternity. You will leave this world one day. There were things that 20 years ago, there were things that were precious to me that miss nothing now. It miss nothing now. It miss nothing now. It means nothing because reality is dawning. Reality is dawning. Am I speaking to somebody right now? Reality is dawning. Nobody's following me. Several times my pilot has called me. He said, can I come and pick you? I said, you guys should leave me alone. I'm not interested. Let me look for a commercial flight. So why? I tell my wife, I said, these things are losing value to me. And there are some people pursuing it. When I see them pursuing it, I look at them. I say, you get tired. Because the only thing that has value in this life is eternity. You are going somewhere. You are going somewhere.
how prepared are you for where you are going? You are so busy with this world. In the night, you charge your phone. Day, you charge your phone. Even asleep, you charge your phone. You don't charge your spiritual life. You have been charging your phone. You charge phone. Even when you go into bed, you put phone on charger. Your phone is 100%. You are still charging it. What more are you looking for? Your spiritual life is not charged. Your prayer life is not charged. If you charge your phone, if you charge your life the way you charge your phone, you can't miss heaven. Am I speaking to somebody here? If you communicate with God the way you receive call, you can't miss heaven. There is nothing in this world I can tell you. He said Lazarus died and was carried. The rich man died and was buried. One was carried, one was buried. The one that was poor in this world was carried. The one that was rich was buried. True wealth is the fear of God. The fear of the Lord. Are you following me? You are so spiritually lazy. Time to pray. 5 minutes, you are already sitting down.
Shake your head.
But to make call, you can chat for 2 hours. You are so lazy. You should be ashamed. You should be angels are ashamed of you. You should be ashamed. Heaven is ashamed of you. Spiritually lazy. Prayer, you can't pray. See God, you can't see God. 5 minutes of intercession, that's how you sit down. Shaking your head like a redneck lizard. That's how you sit down. Shaking your head. No stamina to pray. But to gossip, they gave you chair, you stood up. To gossip, gossiping, they gave you chair, sister, sit down. No! This kind of matter, they know they talk, I'm sitting down. You bend neck. You bend neck. To make matters worse, they brought you one cold chivita. You put straw. As you sip, you gossip. They brought you hot burger. You finish it. They brought number two. You finish it. And you go, sit down. No. You have moved from where you were. You have faced, are they telling you. That, but to pray, but lazy. If God allow us to continue the way we are going, then God has to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah for destroying them. Because Sodom, they have no Bible. Gomorrah had no pastor. Sodom and Gomorrah had no Bible. They had no pastor. Yet God destroyed them. You have pastors, you have Bible, and your life is so careless. You are so careless and reckless. You are so reckless with your spiritual life. So reckless. You have no walk with God. You wake up, the first thing you grab is your iPhone. Without prayer, you have not spoken to God. You are replying messages. See the value you place on God. After replying messages, you now drop phone and now go on your knees. So God is now second class in your life. Heaven is real, sir. Heaven is real. Until that reality dawns upon you, you understand that everything is vanity. Everything you do in life, what must guide it is that you give account one day. You will give account. Oh, you will give account. Ma, you will give account. That thing you are doing, you will give account. Because that thing is testifying. He told them in Israel, when they were acting innocent, say, shut up, your sin will find you out. As you sin, the walls take witness. As you sin, the walls take witness. The wind, the Bible says, let not the wind carry and tell the matter in the secret. Everything you do, I understand you are quiet. I understand there is no amen offering. You are not connecting to this one because it's not prophecy. But I'm telling you, your money come, your money go. I spoke to somebody over the phone a couple of minutes ago, hours ago rather. I said, let me say this to you. Money means nothing to me. Money comes, money goes. Money is paper. Nobody born of a woman in this world. I've been like this for years. Money means nothing. Nobody born of a woman will live with money. You die, and that is the end of your existence. Whether you like it or not, you will go one day. You will go one day. It's not a prophecy of doom, it's a reality of life. I'm not prophesying doom. If you like, live up to 150, 120. In fact, when you cross 100, you will be begging to die because you'll be tired. I watched a man on CNN some time ago. He was 110 and they were interviewing him. And the man said, what kind of stupid life is this? All his friends are dead. All his age mates are dead. Those that he carried are dead. What kind of life is this that he wants to die? And there's no way they are permitted to give you mercy death except in Singapore, in Switzerland. So they package into Switzerland and they show the room he was to die. It's called mercy killing. They give him an injection and the man died. And they brought news the next day. I watched, follow the news. When they return, they say he's dead. He's dead. He was tired of life. He was tired of life. Over 100 and something years, he said he's tired. All his strength are gone. When he dreams, he sees them. They are calling him to come. And he wants to go. He had to pay to be killed. Because death refused to come. He had grown old. When he got to a point, he was tired. This cloth you are changing that is catching you, you'll be tired very soon. Many of you ladies are tired of your hair. This event, you go change hair. You make up more than 5 times. You make up, you go out, you remake up, you go out, you remake up. You are getting tired already. You are getting tired. That's what life is. A time come, the enthusiasm is gone. All of that is gone. Because you are preparing for where you are going. Am I talking to somebody here? All of these pursuits, what are you looking for? God, car, house, money, all those material pursuits. Why not you pursue eternity? Pursue what does not end. There is a destination. If one could come from the dead and come to you and show you what is awaiting you, you will hate this world. If he show you what is awaiting you, what is awaiting you? If somebody offends you, you say thank you, sir, because you don't want to miss that thing that's awaiting you. If somebody pushes you, say thank you, thank you, thank you. Why? There is something. A friend of mine now went to the mountain. We went to the mountain some time ago. It was in Oshogbo. We went to the mountain. After 7 days, I told them I'm going home because my people were worried about me. It was not the period of GSM. There were no GSM. We went and this guy didn't come back. It was later, one of the men who keep the mountain said the boy prayed that God should take him home. That when he saw the revelation of heaven and what was awaiting him, he said God should take him home. And on the 11th or 12th day, he died on the mountain. He said he saw, when they sat down, they began to tell us. I was angry initially, but later it dawned on me. I said he has finished his own. I'm busy worried. Where he's going is certain. I'm the one that should walk towards where I'm going. Listen to me, there is nothing in this world. Nothing. Just sun, ordinary sun. You carry paper. You are covering your hair. It's too hot. Imagine hell. Imagine hell. Ordinary sun, you carry paper. You cover your head. Hey, the sun is hot. It's turning my skin black. I'm becoming too dark. Because what about hell? That was the sun for 30 minutes. The hell is eternal. Rise on your feet. And begin to tell God, I must not go to hell. I must not go to hell. I must not go to hell. Begin to talk to God. I must not go to hell. Open your mouth and cry out to God. I must not go to hell. Lika patura kataya.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Listen to this. If you get back home, I'd like you to read Revelation from chapter 2. And remember, and you're going to see what the Lord was telling the churches. Let me tell you what I see. He kept comparing the state he met them with the state they were before. They all started well. 7 churches. 2 were dying. 4 were dead. 1 was lukewarm. The Laodicea church. And the only thing that kept them was love. When your yesterday, the things you won't dare yesterday, now they become nothing to you. When the devil wants to take you to hell, he kills guilt. Guilt dies. You do things, you don't feel guilty. Guilt dies. Guilt just dies. You lie. Nothing. You steal. Nothing. You guilt. You are not. You don't feel guilt anymore. You just do it. It's normal. It kills guilt. You don't feel guilt. That's what is called transgression lifestyle. That's no more sin. That's no more iniquity. Iniquity is a mystery. The seed of iniquity is in everybody. But when Christ comes, he plants the seed of righteousness. When iniquity is manifested, it becomes sin. When sin is continued in, it becomes transgression. God can handle weakness, but God hates wickedness. Untouched, you will pray, restore my love for you. Oh Lord, empower my conscience. Let my conscience come alive. Empower my conscience. Restore my love for you. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord right now. Listen, while I was talking to the Holy Spirit, I was praying and I was asking the Lord questions on the altar of thanksgiving, thanking him for 16 years, thanking him for leading us this far, for helping us, and I asked him about Ebenezer. As I was praying, the Holy Spirit showed me a mob. You know mob? Huh? I saw somebody mopping. I didn't know what it meant. It was mopping. It's quick vision. And it was lifted. I said, what is that? The Lord said, clean up the house. Clean up the house. Paul said, this is our rejoicing. The testimony of our conscience. Once the conscience is tempered with, then the devil has succeeded in sliding you back to your vomit. Are you listening to me? I'm not praying for the sick tonight. We came to clean up the place. I want you to do what he sent me to do. You know, at this point, the state you are in now is a state you never thought spiritually you could ever fall to. And you are not happy. And you are at this state of your life, you are not asking yourself, is this me? This God I love so much, I've so drifted so far from him. I've broken all the covenants that I've made. I need help. In that category, you will come to the altar. You come to the altar. I need help. This is not me. I need help. You come and kneel at the altar. Oh Lord, you know
I have no friend like you. If heaven is not my home, dear Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I feel at home in this world. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven is not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can feel at home in this world anymore.
Saw the light and the burdens of my soul rolled away. It was then by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the way. At the cross, the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my soul rolled away. It was then by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the way. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh.
Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, Father, we ask for mercy. Bow your knees. Lord, as a church, individually, collectively, on behalf of the ministry, the church in Nigeria, the church in Africa, the church around the world, for every step you have taken outside you, we ask for your mercy. Consciously, unconsciously, in words, in thoughts, in action, in deeds. You looked at man and you were so angry because the imagination of his heart, not even his action, the imagination of his heart. And you said your spirit will no more strive with man. We ask, we will not become objects of regret. It repented God that he has created man. You will not regret making us. You will not regret helping us. You will not regret blessing us. Today we ask for your mercy. That the constant, regular, consistent consciousness of heaven will be our portion. We want to thank you for restoration, for a new beginning. In Jesus' name. Rise on your feet and move to your seat. Help him, help them, help those people there. Just take care of those people on the ground. Move to your seat quietly. Oh Lord, your tenderness met in all my unworthiness. Oh Lord, I receive your love. Oh Lord, your faithfulness melting all my unworthiness. Oh Lord, I receive your love. Hear my cry, oh Lord, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. And when my heart is overwhelmed, please lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Listen. When your passion drops, when your passion, your passion is your driving force for prayer, for obedience to God's word, for obedience to the leading of God. When it drops, it means the devil has succeeded in diverting you from your original destiny. He goes for your passion. When prayer becomes casual, instructions become casual, picking up the Bible become casual. When the things that you mastered now master you, then the devil has succeeded in diverting you. You cannot maximize life with low passion. May this be your restoration. Be on your feet. I'm done. Listen. Tomorrow morning we are going to be here by 7. And then we'll just flow in the Holy Spirit. But as you leave here today, I need you to begin to awaken those goals that you set years ago, that your eyes have been shifted from. Your prayer life, your study life. If there's one thing in my life, nothing, no pressure has gotten in the ways, it's my prayer life. Never.
told mama some days ago, I'm coming. I disappeared just to go and pray and returned. Nothing should come in the way, because the devil can affect your consecration. Your consecration. When your models now become people who are dramatic without depth, when your pursuits now become noise without power, when the things you are pursuing are the things that naturally are meant to pursue you, and the devil has succeeded in diverting you, that will not be your portion. Just lift those hands to heaven. Thank him for restoration. Thank him. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, you are whole. Holy Lord, and
forever you are God.
And forever you are God.
We thank you, Lord, you are holy.
Holy Lord.
In the name of Jesus, hold an offering in your hand. Do not miss it. Throughout these 5 sessions, don't miss any. Do your best, and the Lord will grant your heart desires. There's a missing car key here. There's a missing car key. All Omega Women footballers, including the female ordained ministers, the prophetic seed specially, you can come and cast it on
O me mana rekele de ma. O me mana rekele.
The keys, yeah.
O me rekele de ma. O me mana rekele de
ma. O me mana rekele de ma. O me mana rekele de ma. O me mana rekele de ma.
Yeah.
eyes of the Lord that runneth to and fro the earth to show himself mighty on behalf of those whose eyes and hearts are upright towards him. May his eyes be on you permanently. May he keep you from the fiery darts of the enemy. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It will not come near you. In Jesus' name. My head is a good head. My life is a good one. Angels shall fight for me. Greatness is on my side. Goodness shall follow me. No matter what the matter is, I cannot fail because God cannot fail. For me to fail, God has to fail. Since God cannot fail, I cannot fail. Don't expect me to fail. Shake 5 people and tell them I am restored. I'll see you 7 a.m. in the morning. God bless you.
Welcome to the year 2020. Happy New Year. I give you praise, Lamb of God. Try. Nobody thought I'd come out strong, but he stood me tall in the midst of them all. I'm a living testimony. Hey, you've done what no man can do. Rid of my strength to fight, given me victory. In the midst of adversity, what no man can do, a story no man can change. That is what you have done. Jesus, I can be there, you've done what no man can do. Beginning and the end, you deserve my praise. I'm gonna change my world. You've done. Jesus, I'm coming to you.
Imo State, Nigeria.
Where shall be heaven on earth?
Shout glory!
There's going to be a deluge of God's glory, God's power, God's anointing, healing the sick, massive, massive, massive miracles. Do you live in any state around down the eastern axis?
What glory left? Oh, that the absence of glory is the presence of death.
It's Greater Works 2020, Apostle Jensen Suleiman.
God spoke to Samuel and said, I'll do a work in your day that the ears of them that ye shall tingle.
Papa, mighty miracle here!
Be my guest as we come to Owerri Crusade.
Date 12th and 13th February 2020 by 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. Happening live at Heroes Core, Owerri, Imo State.
Greater Works, farewell. I'll see you there.
Talisman was currently being negotiated. Still on sports, I can win Tokyo gold. Shelly Ann Fraser Prize targets 2020 Olympics success.